This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
So every day, well, not every day. We don't do it on Wednesdays or Fridays.
Right.
But every other day.
Yes.
And actually, I think we have Dave Doran on Monday, or rather Thursday at 1 o'clock, so maybe not Thursday. Either way, we put out a poll question. What do you want to talk about at 1 o'clock? And you answer the poll. And your choices today were, would you like to talk about UNC recruiting? I have thoughts. Probably get to that in hot takes. Would you like to talk about the fact that the Pro Bowl is no more? This is something that has been a long time coming.
Yes.
Let me get a lot of people who don't need to play an additional football game on a football field running into each other at high speeds. Why are we doing this?
Who cares?
A, who cares? And B, if you're one of these players,
yeah,
a meaningless football game that doesn't get you ready for anything, like there's a value to a certain extent for preseason games, but Not to an all-star game in football.
No.
We got to get out of this. So, for that reason, it's been about time for the Pro Bowl to go away. We'll explain what it's going to be, what it's going to look like. The Panthers had a breakthrough, or did they? Or did they just beat another team that also is not that great? Which might be the case. Yeah. I don't know. Like, they won a football game. Steve Logan, and I actually spoke to Steve Logan very recently. Steve Logan used to say all the time, one of the hardest things in sports to do is to win a football game. So much goes into it.
Yeah.
So much effort, so much game planning. It's just a 60-minute game, and they grind, and they grind all week, and then you grind and adjust or whatever during the course of the game. Man, good for the Panthers to get a win. It's another winnable game. We talked about this three-game stretch. Saints, Cardinals, 49ers, all at Bank of America Stadium. They could lose all three. They could win all three. None of those teams are unbeatable. We watched the 49ers last night. Woof.
Oh, yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, insane.
That was a terrible football game.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals are a mess. So, yeah, I mean, the Panthers could come out of this 3-2, and people will think, oh, my gosh, they're... No, don't
get excited.
Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. All right, but we're going to go to, obviously, the majority, NC State back, not back, in the top 10. They're about to play their first ever regular season game between two top 10 teams. Clemson is fifth in the country. NC State is 10th. Both polls, Clemson is fifth, and NC State is 10th. And this is the opportunity. Think about what's coming up on Saturday. You've got ESPN's College Game Day. You also could have a hurricane, Ian, or whatever it will be by the time it gets to Clemson, South Carolina, or remnants of it reach Clemson, South Carolina. Because it's still a few days away from making landfall in the Tampa area. And if it hits Tampa, it's probably more likely to show up in Clemson. If it stays west of that part of Florida, it might continue straight up, you know, through the center of Tennessee and all of that. So State might be spared the worst. State Clemson might be spared the worst. I don't know why I went into the weather forecasting part of this, but all of that remains to be seen what's going to happen. College game day, top 10 ranking, nationally televised prime time game. This is it. This is what you want. Every time NC State has expectation, we go into the season and I keep hearing, well, you know, State does better when they're like, all of that stuff is self-medication. We talked about, and I don't want to get into the other team that shares a 919 area code, but isn't ready for prime time. But you have to embrace this. You can't You can't be afraid of losing. This is why you become a fan. This is why you become a coach. We're going to talk to Dave Doran later in the week about this. Man, this is it. I don't know if it's going to be the most watched college football game of the weekend, but it's going to be a watched college football game. And lo and behold, I remember when we all watched Clemson and Georgia Tech at the beginning of the year. The sentiment was, man, I hope DJU plays well enough to still be the starter by the time we get to that game. And guess what? He has. And he's much better. He's played more than well enough. He's not like the next Trevor Lawrence, but he's plenty good. He made a lot of really good throws against Wake Forest. A lot of really good throws. What he isn't is the runner that Trevor Lawrence was. He's not the threat, even though you would think he would be. He doesn't read the play as well as Lawrence did out of the zone read, out of those quarterback options. But he's a pretty good thrower. And Clemson's skill position players look like they're getting a little bit better. The defense is still good, although I think Wake proved you can even run on Clemson if NC State is capable of doing that. We haven't seen a ton of that from NC State. So this is an opportunity. Man, I could not be more excited about this.
Yes.
Just like, and I'll fold North Carolina back into this. It doesn't matter what Clemson is. Now, Clemson happens to be we'll just say conservatively, no doubt a top 10 football team. No doubt a top 10 football team. They're ranked fifth right now, but I think that any from 4 to 20, almost no difference. Almost no difference. Team ranked fourth, which I think is Michigan, down to team 20, which is whoever. No difference at all. So, it's an opportunity to take a swing at a big boy and see how you measure up. Now, we know up the road in Chapel Hill, they didn't. And it wasn't close, and I think it was alarming what happened to the Tar Heels. I don't know if that's going to happen to NC State. I think everything is on the table. The only outcome that would surprise me is NC State winning comfortably. That's the only outcome that would surprise me. Because it should have happened last year. State won, but man, that was closer than it should have been.
Yes.
So I don't think State will go against a better Clemson team in Clemson. I don't think State will comfortably win this. But every other outcome is possible. State winning a close one, Clemson winning a close one, and Clemson running away. It's all possible. I think this is just going to be one of the great moments, one of the great nights for NC State, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, all the emotion and everything.
I mean, can't wait to watch it.
They're going to bring it. I'm just excited for them because this is such a big platform, such a big day to make a statement. I think they're going to do it, but it will be close. I agree with you on that. I think it will be close.
It'll be very close. I'm going to start with North Carolina. I listened to Mack Brown's press conference after their, 45-32 loss to Notre Dame?
Yes.
Wasn't really that close. Really wasn't. I think the score was 45-20. North Carolina scored a couple of late touchdowns. Now, Mack did a very good job spinning this about, well, you know, we're just little old UNC and they're Notre Dame, which, I mean, is sort of true, right? I mean, it is little old UNC versus big boy Notre Dame. But you spent way too much time talking about top 10 recruiting classes when Notre Dame's top 10 classes are in the last two only, and beyond that, they were in the teens. And frankly, there's not that big a difference. Notre Dame's 2022 recruiting class was seventh. Carolina's was 11th. It ain't that big a difference between 7 and 11. And in 2021, Notre Dame was 9th and Carolina was 14th. Ain't that big a difference between 9 and 14. And in 20, Notre Dame was 18 and Carolina was 14. So wait a second.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
So it really isn't about recruiting classes, is it? Here's what it looked like to me. And if I'm wrong, good. Love to be wrong here. This isn't about recruiting. Unless we're talking about where you recruit in terms of where on your team you have not done a good job recruiting. This could be the problem. North Carolina isn't developing the players that they have to the extent that Notre Dame is developing the players that they have. This is about player development. This is not about overall recruiting. And again, maybe North Carolina hasn't recruited as well on the offensive and defensive line. Possible. But all I know is that number 7 looked bigger than, for Notre Dame, the running back, looked bigger than the people trying to tackle him. That's a problem. And by the way, if you're surprised that Notre Dame had success running the ball on North, it's like, well, the problem was we couldn't stop the run. Yeah.
Duh.
Yes. That's the problem. North Carolina's defense isn't good. Hasn't, and Max said it hasn't been really good. It's been inconsistent, he said. I would say not good since they got there. Gene Chizik isn't going to wave a magic wand and these players are suddenly going to be better. It just looks like they have to get in the weight room. Like, Notre Dame, I hate to use that old trope of big boy football, but it just doesn't look like North Carolina's ready to play it. So, until further notice, when it's not somebody who you know is going to bring some weight to the game, Carolina can play those games, but as soon as somebody shows up with some with big boy pants, I would bet against North Carolina every single time.
Yep, they're done.
So, fortunately, the ACC, for the most part, doesn't present those challenges. For the most part. It's not across the board. But that's just my read on North Carolina. Unimpressive. Unimpressed during the game, less impressed after the game.
Yeah.
All right, and how about being a player on that team in that locker room?
Yeah.
And hearing about how their Jimmies and Joes are just better than ours. Like, excuse me?
Right, what?
Right? So you're hanging it on us?
Okay, then.
That ain't good.
No
good. All right, next hot take. 8605FAN, 8605326. I've said this before. I used to be a voter in the Associated Press poll. Other than preseason poll, okay, that's fun. We shouldn't vote for a while. But I'm curious, how do you watch Clemson at Wake Forest and come away with any other conclusion than, hey, Wake's pretty good?
Yeah.
I don't even understand how Wake dropped in both polls after that game. I don't. because they fell one spot in the AP poll, but the coaches dropped them five spots. They should have gone up in the polls.
Yeah.
Not down. Up. Wake's legit. A very good football team. They are super coached. Dave Clawson. Georgia Tech fired their coach and their AD today. Right? Not that Georgia Tech should take Wake Forest coach, but they should try. Arizona State should be on the phone to Dave Clawson. Nebraska should be like, Dave, how much do you need to come out to this wasteland to coach college football? It's all here for you. He should be super in demand because he is a brilliant football coach. I just don't know how you are a voter and drop Wake after that football game. They could have won the game. Maybe should have won the game when you got right down to it. Clemson scored. Clemson led 14-0, and I thought the game was over. All right, Wake isn't good enough. And then Wake could have, should have won four more times. I thought the game was over when they forced Clemson to kick that long field goal. Hey, Potter kicks the 58-yard field goal with 4-some minutes left.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing, right? 58-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Right? And then Wake is just slowly, it's a four-minute offense, and they're grinding out first downs. And I thought, well, look at this. Wake's going to pick up one more first down and then line up, kick a 45-ish-yard field goal, try to win this game. And total faith that they'd be able to do it. All right, so Clemson's defense kind of, you know, stood up. Goes to overtime. Both coaches playing for overtime, which was curious to me. Go to overtime. I thought Wake had the game won when they had scored the first touchdown, and then it was third and long for Clemson, but DJU's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson ends up winning the game, but I just don't know how you drop Wake Forest in the polls. That is just silly to me. Wake and State's going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Really great.
That game is going to be great. And just thinking down the road, I hope NC State fulfills all of their dreams leading to that game. Because that, the angst going into that game will be, I can't even.
Goosebumps.
All right. All right, so we've already talked about NC State, so I'm not going to go there just yet. Georgia Tech fired Jeff Collins. They also fired Todd Stansbury, the athletic director, today. Collins has been there 3+ years. Georgia Tech's terrible. Stansbury hired him and signed him to a contract. Why Georgia Tech is firing Jeff Collins today, knowing that if they waited until January, the buyout is $4 million lighter.
Wow.
Whatever. They must have the money to do it, and that's fine because the schools generally don't pay these. It's boosters. They get money from boosters to do it. That's whatever. This is not a reflection of Jeff Collins, who is probably, at a different level, a very good football coach. But here's the problem with all of college coaching, and every situation has dealt with this. Unless you are, and even if you are, an elite program. When Clemson hired Dabo Swinney, did they think this was going to happen? No, of course not. What Clemson did, and Clemson doesn't have the challenges Georgia Tech has. What Clemson did was they rolled the dice, and it was awesome. And they rolled 7 after 7 after 7 after 7 after 7.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
That's what Clemson did. But it could have worked out very differently. And in almost all cases, it does work out differently. Because when schools hire the hot coach, oh, man, he just took his team to 10 wins, 11 wins, and blah, blah. When they do that, it's a guess. It's all it is a guess. What happened when the Panthers hired the hot coach?
Exactly.
Right? So, Georgia Tech has similar challenges as Wake Forest has, as Duke has, as the military academies have. Actually, I would put Georgia Tech's challenges far more in line with the military academies than Duke or Wake liberal arts colleges. You know what Georgia Tech has that the other colleges in their academic area don't? A calculus requirement. The players have to take calculus. I would never take calculus.
No.
I mean, I was a decent student, but, oh, I have to take calculus? No thanks.
That's a beast.
No, I don't want it.
Nope.
I don't want it. So, and I'm not saying these athletes are not capable. We're actually going to talk to Roddy Jones tomorrow about, we were going to talk ACC football, but we're going to talk to Roddy Jones tomorrow, and this is going to be one of the things we're going to talk about. It is really hard. You have to be one of three types of coaches to have any success at Georgia Tech. You either need to be have such a unique style that you can mask your athletic inefficiencies. So Paul Johnson and his wishbone, he can call it a spread all he wants. It was a wishbone. Paul Johnson's coaching style, his style of offense, was unique enough that it separated Georgia Tech and it allowed them to compete and win a lot of games. He won an ACC championship. Don't tell me they took it away. I know they did, but I watched it. So that's coach one. The other coach is coach two is, man, did we get lucky? Dabo category. You don't know when it's going to happen. We got lucky. And coach three is get the guy who has won before in other situations, who wants one more shot at being a college coach, who still has the energy to recruit, but you know this guy is a really good coach. So I'll use a former Georgia Tech coach, Bobby Ross.
Yeah.
Bobby Ross was a great coach at Maryland, was a very good coach in the NFL, at a couple of stops, and just wanted to be a coach again. And he went to Georgia Tech. Actually, Georgia Tech might have been before he went to the NFL, but he was legit. And that's what Georgia Tech needs, one of those three. Heck, what's Steve Spurrier doing?
Yeah.
Steve Spurrier come out of retirement. Because those guys will help their presence will help recruiting. Otherwise, Tech is going to be mired in this. Modern college football, and the last 15 years has completely distorted the sport. Modern college football has no room for Georgia Tech. None. And don't talk to, they're in Atlanta. Yeah, they're in Atlanta. And you know what? A lot of players will go to Georgia State, which is also in Atlanta. And if you're a good student, I've always used this analogy with a Duke or a Wake. If you're a good student, great. You know who else wants good students? Florida State.
Yeah.
Clemson. Michigan. They all want good students. And if you can really play and you give these players a chance to play at a much higher level in terms of competing for conference and national championships, that's where they're going to go. And Georgia Tech just doesn't have a long history of putting guys in the NFL where all those other schools do. Even the ones that aren't successful. Miami puts guys in the NFL. Florida State puts guys in the NFL. They all do. Georgia Tech, cup.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Not appealing.
Not a lot. Georgia Tech is in a very difficult spot. So the next coach will be in one of those three categories. It's either going to be a hope. Just throw a dart at the wall and hope you hit the right coach, or it's going to be one of those other things. It's going to be a unique style, or it's going to be somebody, okay, we've seen him have success before, and we know what it's about. And I'm not talking about Les Miles, because that guy can't win at Georgia Tech. All right, let's get to halftime.
Your halftime entertainment.
All right, so on Friday, there were some rumors about the Super Bowl halftime show. We all thought it might be Taylor Swift from all the little leaks that they had. Nope, everybody knows now. It's Rihanna.
First of all, I saw a lot of people celebrating the fact that they were right that it was going to be Taylor Swift.
Yes.
I saw that. And look, I don't really care. I mean, I like both.
Yeah.
So halftime will be the same for me.
Sure.
But that was kind of like an okey-doke.
Yeah.
Everybody just assumed going to be Taylor Swift. And then I saw the announcement, I'm like, well, so is Rihanna doing it with Taylor Swift?
That's what I thought, too. I thought, oh, so are both of them doing it at the same time? No, apparently not. Rihanna will be the headline on the 57th Super Bowl halftime show, February 12th in Arizona. She confirmed the news. Now, did you see how she confirmed it?
Rihanna?
Yeah.
No, I'm interested.
It's such a millennial kind of thing. She had her hand holding a football and posted it on Instagram. That's it. Just her holding a football, not even her face. So you have to know it's her hand, I guess. Just holding a football like, okay, the halftime show.
I am not on Instagram.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh.
My son is.
Yes.
But I'm not. I think I have an Instagram account, but I've never posted anything on Instagram.
Right. Yeah.
Sort of like Facebook. I think I have a Facebook account.
Somewhere.
But I have never posted anything on Facebook.
There you go.
My understanding is that Rihanna has a world-class Instagram.
I think so. She is very popular on Instagram.
Yeah.
So that is a good assumption.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Taylor Swift, she confirmed. She was like, no, I'm finishing up re-recording her sixth album. So, you know, she's busy. But anyway, Rihanna, she's going to put on a good show. I have no doubt she's going to put on a great show. So I'm excited. Now, do you, I know you like to watch movies.
Do I?
Do you like Star Wars?
I mean, Star Wars is fine. I got nothing against Star Wars. I haven't watched the last couple, but.
Yeah. Well, this may come as a surprise. I had never watched Star Wars until maybe 3 years ago. Three-ish years ago.
Well, I mean, you're way young for Star Wars. I mean, the original came out when I was a kid.
Right.
Right? Harrison Ford was, that was like 50 years ago.
True. Well, one of the voices is retiring.
Oh, that's right. I heard this story yesterday.
James Earl Jones has officially retired. He's the voice of Darth Vader. He decided he is done. He's 91 years old, by the way, which I guess makes sense. It's been out for a while, but that's crazy. Oh, no. But never fear, though. If you love Star Wars and you love his voice, technology is here because he gave Lucasfilm and Disney the rights to digitally recreate his voice going forward. So you can still watch all the Star Wars-y type things and hear James Earl Jones while he's on the beach not doing the voice stuff.
my wife told me the story yesterday.
Okay.
Is Darth Vader still, like, he's not in any more movies, is he?
Right. Well, and that's what I thought. I mean, unless they make something moving forward where it's like a flashback when I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because otherwise, what are we doing? It's already been done. So I don't know. But hey, he's finally retiring.
He's done.
At 91.
Is he retiring also from being the voice of the, those CNN cutaways?
Ooh, I don't know.
Is he completely done, or is
Maybe.
He just done with Darth Vader?
With technology, I'm sure he's like, yeah, just use it wherever. You can, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. That's probably the case. You should stop. You're 91. Move on. Okay, so a lot of people probably saw this, too, from this past weekend. And I can't say I blame him, because when I watch my Panthers, I get really hot, too. They make me crazy.
But they won. You should be happy.
Even though
won.
I didn't watch them because I was at a baby shower. But
so you still haven't watched the game?
No. Because as soon as I got home, I was watching the later game with the Packers. So
okay.
You know.
All right.
I just don't have enough time in the day. But
understood.
This guy's anger. Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey. Did you see this clip?
I did.
Yes. Now, there's no audio, but we'll have to post it if you haven't seen it. He had a temper tantrum at the end. The incident occurred after the Bills failed to spike the ball in time at the end, which made them lose 21-19. But this happens right after Tom Brady also destroyed an iPad during a game in frustration, and the NFL came out and told all 32 teams, hey, guys, let's not break our stuff, please. And then here's Ken, just like, no, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, let's not break the toys. Brady actually broke two.
Yes.
Those are Microsoft Surfaces.
Yes.
Right? They're not iPads. So the NFL hates when people...
Mix up the two? Okay, it's Microsoft. Yes.
Because they have that deal with Microsoft. Anyway, I don't know I don't know the difference in terms of capabilities of the two machines.
No.
I know what an iPad does. I've never had or used a Microsoft Surface. With that said, Brady slamming them on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just amazing.
What are we doing?
Childish stuff.
Yes.
And then Ken Dorsey. I saw that. It wasn't that he slammed the Surface. He was just crumpling up papers and he was... I mean... How old are you?
He was irate. He was going crazy.
How freaking old are you?
I know. There were pens flying, papers flying, all the things flying.
What a child.
I know. It's insane. I don't know. The NFL, you know, they don't want them breaking this stuff, but these guys make enough money. I'm pretty sure they can afford to buy a new one.
Right, but that stuff should be dealt with by the league in such a harsh manner.
Yeah.
Like, look, I know a $10,000 fine... Frankly, it would be a significant fine for an assistant coach. Not that they don't make a very good living, but that would be a significant fine. But you should just embarrass them.
Yeah.
Like, Roger Goodell should come out and say, hey, Ken Dorsey, are you a child?
What are we doing?
We should have a press conference where Roger Goodell actually, like, scolds them in person.
Yes, he should.
Right? Go to your room.
Yes, you're done. You're
such an idiot.
You don't get any Microsoft Surfaces now for 2 weeks.
And you know what? That would be good.
Yeah.
Don't let Tom Brady use a Microsoft Surface next week.
Sorry. Pen and paper.
You have to draw things.
Yes. That's it. Nothing else. This is why we can't have nice things.
Done.
I know. Well, and last thing. Have you ever given a gift but then taken it back?
No, I've never given a gift and taken it back, but I have received a gift.
Okay.
And given that gift back.
Okay. That's a little different than this. Honda in Ohio, they are totally taking backsies what they just gave. So recently they sent a memo to employees in their Ohio factory notifying them that the company had overpaid their bonuses and needed to recover the extra money. So some employees are on the hook for hundreds of dollars that they now have to give back.
Whoa. Well, that's happened. That's like if you have ever received in the Monopoly game, mm-hmm. you get one of the cards. It says bank error in your favor. Collect, right?
Uh huh.
If that was real life, yes, bank error in your favor. Collect this, but then the next card says, oh, by the way, give us that money back.
Whoops. Yeah.
And chances are it's already been spent. So now you have to come up with the money.
Uh-huh.
It's a double loss.
Oh, wow.
The company is asking for this
yes,
back?
Yes. They gave out too much money to their employees. And because of the Fair Labor Standards Act, this is legit. Like, they can ask for this money back.
Well,
so
can and should
are two
different
totally
things.
Totally different things.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. They say, here's the good news. Okay, you can decide if this is good news. They have a few weeks to decide how they want to repay the amounts, whether one lump sum or deducted, like, smaller amounts in your payroll. What? What do we do? How many people quit after this, do you think? Because... Wow, come on.
Well, I mean, here's my question would be, if you left the company,
mm-hmm.
can they still come after you
right.
for that money?
Probably.
This falls under the category of poor, not PR.
Management.
This is a bad look for this company because
yeah.
if you care about your employees, you go, I mean, we're probably not talking about millions of dollars here.
hundreds, I think. Like, well, so not even thousands.
I'm not talking about individually.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, we're probably not talking about millions of dollars
altogether.
As a company.
No. No.
It ain't going to break you.
No,
If it's not going to send you to bankruptcy court,
right?
You should not be asking for that money back.
Pay for your people. Yeah.
Care about
them.
Wow. Ugh. Nurture them.
Bad look. Real bad look.
The worst.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.